Well, that was an interesting weekend. Welcome to the show. It's April 11th. We have so much to talk about. Call-ups. Trevor Story, a rookie who was thrown a no-hitter when he was removed in the eighth inning. Horrible trade offers that Heath Cummings made to me revolving around that rookie.
He's got no-hit stuff, Adam.
Yeah, apparently. Oh, man, just so much. The bullpens and Matt Harvey and Julio Duran and this and that. But good morning, fellas. How was your first week of the 2016 season?
We were just talking about that, and I couldn't decide if it was a good week or a bad week. I had a great week in both of the podcast listener leagues, and overall a good week in all my head-to-head leagues. But the Tyson Ross news really took the wind out of my sails.
Oh, yeah. On the DL. Sorry.
He's by
about
far
that.
My most owned player this season.
But don't you at least feel like, well, at least now I know why he was so bad in his first start.
Possibly, yeah. We were just discussing what of the number of players that go on the DL with shoulder stiffness, how many times does it turn out to just not really be much of anything?
And yeah. I was saying 90%, at least, 9 out of 10.
That it doesn't turn out to be anything.
Right. That, you know, he rests a little, the shoulder feels better, he comes back and is fine. And that's how I expect this to go for Rice. I didn't read anything that alarmed me. I don't think his... I didn't check, but I don't think his velocity was down beyond what's normal for this time of year.
Which would suggest something's really wrong. Lance McCullers? I mean, isn't this essentially
Lance McCullers wasn't a big deal,
right.
At least as far as we know. He just went on the DL and he's getting better.
Well, look, we can speculate about that on another show. Today there's too much to talk about. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. If we have some time, we'll help you with your FanDuel lineup for tonight. You, of course, can listen to the Daily Fantasy Live podcast, but now let's start with the standouts, then we'll talk about the call-ups, we'll talk about the relievers that you need to know about, the most added list, just so much stuff. How about Coco Crisp? Big weekend for him, and he's 2% owned. You know, why are we starting the show with Coco Crisp? I don't know.
I just saw him
in my notes. but he's 2% owned, and he leads off, and he stole two bases Saturday, and he homered on Sunday. Is Coco Crisp, who says that the neck injury really hurt his batting stance last year, and now he's healthy, is he under-owned?
No.
Well, maybe
a little. I mean, 2%, but 12% should maybe be what he's topping out at.
Okay.
I think this is a bad choice to lead the show with.
Terrible. Terrible. So let's go to Trevor
he's
36
Story. 36 years old.
Trevor Story. Anybody buying Trevor Story? Well, I know Scott was coming around. Heath, how about you? He's got 7 home runs and a .333 batting average, 1 walk to 8 strikeouts so far. Trevor Story.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to move him up again. I had moved him up last week to my, I think, 16th shortstop. And he may squeak into the top 12.
Okay.
I'm not buying it, obviously, to the degree that what he's done so far, or I'd have him number one at shortstop. But
well, I know you're the down guy on Ian Desmond, right?
Yes.
I moved Story into my top 10 before the weekend, before he added 3 more home runs. But I think I have Desmond 7th. Is Desmond in your top 10,
no.
First of all? Is he in your top 12?
I believe...
He's 11th.
And I am not looking at the rankings. I think he's 12th.
He's 11th for you, Heath.
11th.
Okay, so if somebody... If you own Desmond, which of course you don't, but if you did, and somebody offered you Trevor Story, you'd absolutely take that, right?
I think I'd have to put him... I'm going to put Story at 11th, it sounds like.
Well, I would too, as somebody who's not as down on Desmond as you are, so that means Story's in entering my top 7 now. I think the highest ranked shortstop, the highest shortstop that I would turn Story down for is Jung Ho Gong.
And you have Gong 6th?
Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting. What he's done is he's won you week one in your head-to-head leagues.
Not
that's
me, because
nice.
I benched him.
Well, okay. And most people probably did. And you're probably going to start him this week, and chances are he's not going to hit home run this week.
Sure, but this isn't about 1 week.
Well, but his production is about home runs.
Yeah.
He's going to hit less, I would guess, less singles, doubles, and triples than the rest of the top 10 shortstops.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because actually something that goes overlooked in this whole story drama. Yeah, okay, story. Is that people look at his 20 home runs in the minor leagues last year, and they're like, oh, it was 20 home runs, which, by the way, is a pretty high number for a minor leaguer. They don't play 162 games down there. But that aside, I feel like they're just kind of dismissing the 20 home runs as only 20 home runs. He had 40 doubles and 10 triples. He had 70 total extra base hits in the minors last year.
Right.
And this is a guy who's going to play half his games at Coors Field.
Yeah, he also had about 480 strikeouts over the past 3 years combined.
Okay.
Just to temper expectations a little bit.
Okay.
I will maintain he needs the home runs.
And he'll get the home runs.
What's the over-under on home runs for the rest of the year?
Well, he's on pace for some ridiculous number that's obviously not going to happen. He's not going to hit 50. He's not going to hit 40. I'm betting on 30. I'm betting on at least 30 playing half his games.
23 the rest of the year.
At least, yeah. I mean, somewhere in the 30s is where I expect him to finish, provided he stays starting all year, which is obviously the really what looms over him, this Jose Reyes situation, whether or not he's going to come back and take over the starting shortstop job. I the chances get slimmer with every home run that's going to happen, but it is still a possibility.
I made a dumb prediction, I guess, it looks like now, because I said 12.5 was my over-under after he'd hit 3. I'll bump it up to 16.5.
So you're giving him total?
Total.
Total.
Why?
10 more.
A guy who hit 20 home runs in the minors.
A guy that struck out
in less than 162 game season.
Yeah, I understand.
He didn't set strikeout records in the minors. I mean, I understand the contact skills could be better.
Heath, why?
The contact skills have been pretty awful.
Why? No. Let me ask a question here. Why would you be so high on Chris Davis as you were last year and are again this year? And so low on Trevor Story. Who cares about the strikeouts? Unless you think the strikeouts are going to end up with him getting benched because his batting average is so bad.
I think
but who cares?
The strikeouts do lead to a more likely scenario. I mean, I think it's more likely that he goes through a couple week stretch where he's awful. And then Jose Reyes is the starting shortstop.
I don't think two awful weeks with the kind of start he's had would be enough to for them to do that. I mean, everybody has a 2 week awful stretch during the season.
Okay. Well,
what's going to happen with Jose Reyes though? I mean,
that's the good question.
They dump him.
How?
They either put him on the bench or they just release him or they trade him for, some low A ball guy who they kind of like.
Well, I have Trevor Story in only one league and he was on my bench and I lost to Heath because of it. And I picked up Jose Reyes. So that could be an option. If you see Jose Reyes get benched or get dropped and you own Trevor Story, maybe you pick up Reyes, or maybe you trade extremely low for Jose Reyes if you own Trevor Story. But I'll finish it off by asking, is Trevor Story in your mind, despite everything we just said, do you think he is a sell high candidate just because of the uncertainty going forward?
The from what I've seen so far, there aren't a lot of buyers.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be the guy that bought on Trevor Story in week one and then Jose Reyes took the job back.
Now, I have seen, I feel like most trade offers I've seen are guys trying to, not living in reality. They're not offering Trevor Story for Jung Ho Kang.
I mean, you turned down Story and Sale for Kershaw, right?
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's that. I mean, if Story hits 30 home runs this year, then you probably should have taken that deal.
Well, the thing is, I have Gene Segura as my shortstop, who's off to a pretty ridiculous start himself.
He
and
is.
Who I like. And I think,
but 30 home runs, who's your utility in that?
If it was Chris Sale and Trevor Story for like Max Scherzer, that'd probably be different. We're talking Clayton Kershaw here.
Okay.
I don't trade, generally speaking, and this is a shallow 10 team head to head league. In shallower formats, I don't trade players as high end as Kershaw, just as a flat rule. If it was a deeper league, maybe. If it was an NL only league, which wouldn't work, but let's substitute Sale again for, an equivalent NL pitcher, then maybe I do take that trade. Yes.
Okay. Let's talk more about Coco Crisp or anyone else. How about Ross Stripling? 47% owned, 7 1/3, no hits, one run, inherited runner, bullpen gave it up. 4 walks, 4 strikeouts, threw 100 pitches, got 9 swinging strikes. I had no interest in acquiring him from Heath, but what do you guys think about Ross Stripling of the Los Angeles Dodgers?
the thing that surprised me the most is that he was still, I think on Sunday, sitting out on waiver wires. And there's probably a small chance that he turns out to be a stud pitcher, but there's a very non-zero chance that he's a fantasy contributor this year. He's mm-hmm. pitching on a good team that should provide a lot of wins.
Yeah, but they have so many guys who could come back and remove him from the rotation.
But a lot of them are not very good.
Well, I mean, I don't think Stripling's very good. It was cool. It was a cool thing. He no-hit a team in his first major league start over 7 1/3 innings. He walked 4 and struck out 4. His minor league numbers aren't that impressive.
True.
His raw stuff isn't that impressive. He has 4 pitches that are decent, but none of them are like knockout, you know?
Right.
This is a guy who profiles as a 4th or 5th starter in the majors. So that's what I'm treating him as, and that's not mixed league material.
Would you rather have Ross Stripling or Rich Hill?
Rich Hill.
Oh, I'd rather have Stripling.
Oh,
boy,
you're such a Hill hater.
Boy, did I drop Rich Hill one day too early.
Good start in the last 10 years. That was nice for him.
You know,
this is what happens when Rich Hill's curveball is on.
Yeah,
it's unhittable.
True.
When it's off, it's really ugly.
But actually, what was interesting about this start, 10 strikeouts in 6 innings, 1 run against Seattle on Saturday, he said, and I think his manager said it as well, it was really his fastball command that was the key, because when he doesn't have his fastball, I guess, you know, you can sit on his curveball, it's not as effective, but Hill's fastball command was much better in his second start. He gave up 2 runs in 2 2/3 in his first start, which I was sort of willing to throw out the window because he wasn't expecting to start that day. Heath, of course, didn't agree with that, but that was the day that Sonny Gray got food poisoning. But Stripling and Hill are owned in about the same amount of leagues. Which guy that you added over the weekend excites you the most? What was your favorite ad that you guys made this weekend?
It may actually be Hill, who I liked a lot at first before spring started, and then he had the awful spring, and I kind of backed down on him as a sleeper. And you know, I wasn't necessarily excusing that first start myself, but I think the strikeout potential is so high, and there are going to be some lumps along the way, but it's rare you can find out a guy who it's rare you can find a guy who can strike out double digit hitters repeatedly. He will do that several times over the course of this year, I'm confident. And it's rare you can find that guy on the waiver wire. I guess if I had to, I'll name a couple more. Steven Souza. 3 outfielder leagues are the only ones he was available in, of course. And he has struck out a lot. He struck out a lot last year, but I think he has a lot of power. The 3 home runs he has already were monster shots. And I think at least one was to the opposite field. I could see him having a big breakout. Has some speed as well, so that's nice. And then Eugenio Suarez in leagues where I needed a shortstop and the Trevor Story owner was being unreasonable. Eugenio Suarez with 4 home runs already is a guy I was adding. I dropped Marcus Semien for him in one league. And part of my inspiration for that is the fact Suarez has only struck out once in his 23 at-bats all year. In addition to the home runs, I don't know if that's going to last, but 94 strikeouts to 17 walks last year, really bad ratio. Right now it's 1 strikeout to 3 walks. Small sample, but looking better.
Heath, how about you?
You know, I'm going through all my teams and trying to find an answer besides Ross Stripling.
You added Ross Stripling in that many leagues?
Oh, I added him in a... I mean, I didn't add a lot of players that were more exciting than him this weekend, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Like, I didn't add him in every league by any means. I did get Jeremy Hazelbaker in our NL-only league, which was very exciting because I have the worst team in the history of any... I think I've got like 7 players on my roster that are on the DL and I can't drop them because the waiver wire is so bad. There's nobody worth picking up.
Yeah. No, not in those leagues. Hazelbaker might work out pretty well in that league. I do think he's more NL only material because he's got more playing time because Randall Grichuk's swing is off in the early going. And so they were giving him some extra time in the batting cages to get that sorted out. And he entered yesterday's game midway through and I think walked 3 times in his only appearances. So that seemed like improvement for Grichuk, and I think he'll be back playing every day soon enough. But if Hazel Baker was playing regularly. Minor league journeyman type, but a guy who had a good power speed combo in the minors, I think he would be interesting. Kind of in the way Tommy Pham was before he went on the DL.
Well, I picked up Scooter Gennett in a couple of leagues. I don't know if I'm going to start him this week. There are three lefties on the schedule for the Brewers. Now, he played against Bumgarner and homered off Bumgarner in the season opener. He sat against Dallas Keuchel, though, but Gennett is 28% owned. Who do you guys buy more? I mean, this might be an easy question because Suarez is 84% owned and Gennett is 28% owned. But if you're looking for a middle infielder, who do you guys buy more, Suarez or Gennett?
I am excited by both of them, but I buy Suarez more because it's probably just because I thought he was better coming into the year.
Yeah. I trust the power he's shown more. Right. I know he has power. Scooter Gennett, that's kind of new to the equation.
Yeah, I read what Al wrote about Gennett. Al revisited last year's breakouts and was wondering if they still had a chance to break out this year. He's fairly optimistic on Gennett, drawing some walks. He's got 4 walks, 3 strikeouts so far. So he's only 28% owned, probably worth a shot. And we'll talk more about the most added players in a little bit. One of the most added players, the third most added player, is Nomar Mazara, who looks like a pretty regular outfielder for the Rangers, as Shin-Soo Choo is out 4 to 6 weeks. With a calf injury. But first, let me tell you about a tweet I got this weekend from AJ Ventura. He says, "Hey, what's the CBS code for SeatGeek again? Trying to get last minute tickets to the Mets home opener." Now that code, of course, is fantasy, all caps, fantasy. And I myself, listen to this, Canadian listeners, I'm thinking about going to the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I'm going to go on SeatGeek. I've got the free app on my phone. You can also go to SeatGeek.com. This is now the only way I buy tickets to a game or a concert. SeatGeek pulls all the tickets available on other sites into one place. You are never going to miss a deal. And SeatGeek also tells you which seats are the best bargain. And with their interactive map, you can see what your view will look like before you buy the tickets. That is a really, really cool feature. And I love this. You can set alerts on your phone so you can find out when the ticket prices are dropping. Best of all, no hidden fees. SeatGeek is honest and upfront about the price, and unlike StubHub, they show you the full ticket price from start to finish. You don't have to worry about anything sneaking up on you at the end. If you want to save $20, here's how you do it. You download the free SeatGeek app. You go to the settings tab, click on add a promo code, and our promo code is FANTASY, FANTASY, all caps, FANTASY. SeatGeek's going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FANTASY today. And if you live in New York and you have any extra hockey tickets to the Florida Panthers, I'm jumping on the bandwagon. I think they're playing the Islanders. I should know that, but that's why I'm a bandwagon fan and not a real fan.
Yes.
They're playing the Islanders or the Rangers, and I'm hoping it's the Islanders. I think it'll be a lot cheaper. Anyway, let's get to the call-ups. Malik Smith, 14% owned, Atlanta Braves outfielder. He was called up as Ender Inciarte is on the DL with a strained hamstring. Nomar Mazara, 65% owned, or what did I just say, 68% owned? It's going up, 67% owned. He went 3-for-4 with a home run, batting second yesterday for the Rangers. And Danny Santana's on the DL, so Minnesota called up Max Kepler, who's 14% owned. He's another outfielder. And he pinch hit on Sunday. And Carl Crawford on the DL, so the Dodgers called up infielder Micah Johnson. So out of Mazara, Malik Smith, Max Kepler, Micah Johnson, rank them in order of excitement, Heath Cummings.
I will go Mazara, Malik Smith, and Max Kepler. Although I'm probably a little more excited about Kepler than Scott is, just because I think there's a chance Byron Buxton is so bad they have to send him back to the minors again for a while, and that gets Kepler everyday playing time.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a chance of that. I think we'll have to see Kepler start some before that's really a possibility, because I don't think they're just going to send him down with Buxton down without trying out Kepler. But you know, far and away, even if that happens with Kepler, I mean, the one with the most upside here is clearly Mazara. He's the only one I was adding in mixed leagues, period. Not just three outfielder leagues, but across the board. This was a stop the presses type call up for Mazara, and really sooner than I expected, because he's so young. He's now the youngest player in the majors with this promotion. And you know, even though he had advanced to AAA, the minor league numbers didn't quite measure up to the hype in that he didn't show big time power in the minors. The power is fine, but not big time power. Not really stats that'll, you know, sock you in the face. But then again, I could say the same for Bryce Harper. Mazzara is definitely a top tier prospect and has an opening. The fact they called him up instead of Joey Gallo to be an everyday outfielder for them is exciting in and of itself because it tells you what they think of him, Mazzara's ability. And, you know, he looked great in his debut, obviously. Three hits kind of served the pitches softly into right field on those two singles and then, of course, had the big blast.
Well, so. Let me read the outfielders who are on the most added list.
Okay.
Here are your top five. Brock Holt, who's also second base and I think third base eligible. Nomar Mazzara, Steven Souza, Joey Rickard, and Jorge Soler. So Holt, Mazzara, Souza, Rickard, and Soler. Who's your favorite in that group, guys?
I do think it kind of depends on whether you're adding somebody as like, do you have three good outfielders? Or do you need to start somebody tomorrow?
All right, let's start with...
Well, either way, I'm taking Mazzara one. That's me. I mean, the only three I think I was even really considering off the waiver wire were Mazzara, Souza, and what was the list again, Adam? I'm sorry.
Brock Holt, Mazzara, Souza, Rickard, and Soler.
Soler.
Yeah, Soler. And I'd take Soler over Souza. If I was ranking them, I'd go Mazzara, Soler, and Souza.
Heath?
See, I don't know. I think I might, with the way Souza started, I might go Souza, Mazzara, Soler.
What about...
I thought about that. That's actually the way I was leaning when I initially put in my waiver claims early Sunday afternoon.
Right.
And then Mazzara went 3-for-4 with the homer, and I'm like, eh, never mind.
I mean, the way you could look at Souza is... he's done exactly what he does. I mean, we knew he had power. This isn't a revelation, and he's still striking out a ton. And I talked about it. He hit the two home runs in one game earlier last week, but late some month, he hit a home run in three straight games, and then he batted like 190 the next month, you know? So I don't know that we've seen anything from Souza that's so remarkable. It just happens to be in the first week.
Yeah, but... that's where it starts, you know?
Yeah, but...
There are going to be players who break out that nobody drafted.
Yeah, that's true.
There are going to be at least a dozen like that. And I think Souza has the raw tools to be one of those players, so the fact he's showing signs of it, this is your chance to get it. Get him. And if next week, you know, he's struck out 8 more times and is batting .220 with just these 3 home runs, okay. Swap him out for the next guy. You know, it doesn't, you're never marrying a player you pick up off waivers. You're just hoping that, you know, the lightning catches fire.
All right.
The
well,
lightning
these next
strikes th- and a fire start, a raging wildfire.
These
begins.
Other guys. Sorry to, break up your imagery there. Malik Smith, Max Kepler, can they give you steals? Are they speed guys? What's the deal with them? And will they play? Well, we know Kepler's not necessarily going to play every day. What about Smith?
Smith should play a good bit. I don't know if it'll be every day, but it's him or Drew Stubbs as their center fielder. And he's angling to be a Michael Bourne type, which, you know, Michael Bourne used to be a top steals guy and an early round pick in fantasy. But no power. A lot of speed. NL only Roto, I think he's absolutely worth adding. Beyond that, let's see how he does first.
And we need somebody to steal some bases.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because there's one thing Scott and I talked about before the season was how few stolen bases there were last year. And it was one of the lowest years in the last 40 years. High Heat Stats tweeted out this morning, MLB-wide stolen base success rate is just 61% so far this year, which is an awful. Everybody should just stop running if that's the rate. And attempts are the lowest in 50 years as far as an attempt per game at the start of the season.
Well, I'll tell you, the Astros are off and running. That's a good thing. Not necessarily successfully, but Altuve, Springer, Correa, those guys are off and running. Let's do the bullpen here. I will make a statement. You tell me if you agree or disagree. Genmar Gomez is clearly the Phillies' closer. Agree or disagree?
I think it seems like yes right now.
I'll say disagree just because you put the clearly in front, and I'm not that strong on it. He's the front runner.
Okay, Sam Dyson is the best backup guy to own in Texas.
I agree.
Did you say clearly?
No, he didn't.
Okay, then I'll say yes. Probably.
Sean Doolittle owners need to be concerned.
I agree. Although he did finally get a save instead of Madsen Sunday, so it does seem like they are playing matchups. But that's still bad news for him compared to what we thought he'd do at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slightly concerned.
Gosh, I offered Heath a 2-start Mike Fiers for Andrew Miller, and he turned it down. And Andrew Miller is on his bench. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's not a terrible offer.
I made a nice counter offer for a guy that's not even pitching right now. He's on the disabled list.
Yeah, you offered me Andrew Miller for Lance McCullers. You think I'm stupid? Like, you offered me three pathetic, if not four, I don't know, horrible trades this week. Like, insulting trade offers, Heath Cummins.
I wasn't insulted by any of them.
This reputation you've given me of making bad trade offers is gone. Because now you
What the best part is that the main response I got on Twitter was, well, of course Adam wouldn't accept any of your trade offers. You know what kind of trade he wants to make.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. And you're the one making these terrible. What was the last? You wanted me to give up Anthony Rizzo, Garrett Richards, Vince Velasquez, and someone else for Ross Stripling, Buster Posey, and two pieces of garbage.
I don't think it was. No, one of them was Yordan Majura, who you wouldn't trade earlier in the day.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know.
Okay, back to the bullpens here. Arodis Vizcaino is the Braves closer. Agree or disagree? Clearly the Braves closer.
Agree. Grilly's been bad.
Yes,
I just don't know that means definitely that he's going to pitch the ninth inning. I think it might be a situation like Oakland. If the middle of the order is coming up to the eighth, Vizcaino is pitching the eighth.
That's what they say. So that's a good point.
And that's really the way that all baseball managers should do it.
I don't know that I agree with that.
All right, next statement. Owners who need saves should pick up Joaquin Benoit before they pick up Sam Dyson.
No.
Yeah, I
disagree.
I'd probably be looking to make a trade before. I mean, if you need saves, I think I'd rather. Yeah.
No, I'm saying we're speculating on who's going to replace the current closer, and I think Benoit replacing Cishek, is that more likely than Dyson replacing Tolleson?
I'd pick up Kevin Jepsen over both.
That's probably true.
Over for Perkins?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Perkins did not look good over the weekend.
Yeah, his velocity's down, at least I read. I hadn't checked the number yet. But, back issues last September, and now his velocity's down, and he blew a save. So, I mean, Jepsen hasn't been great either, but I think his stuff's okay.
Now, in fairness, that blown save, Paul Molitor brought him in on Saturday in a game that they'd already lost just because he wanted to get him work. And I think he threw like 35 pitches or something because it didn't go very well. And then on Sunday, he faced the exact same part of the order. So it's a bad situation for him.
Average fastball velocity is down 3 miles per hour.
Whoa,
I mean, granted, everybody's average fastball velocity is down this type of year, so I don't know how much I should care on a case-by-case basis, but considering there's an injury tied to Perkins and it's really impacting his performance, I'm kind of worried about that.
Of course, if the Twins never win a game, then it doesn't really matter.
That is true. All right, so let's get to the big news here. Kyle Schwarber out for the season with a torn ACL and a torn LCL in his knee. We also have Robinson Chirinos, much lower end catcher. He's out for the year.
Yeah.
But we did not talk about catcher replacements on Friday's show. We didn't know Schwarber was going to be out for the season. Mm-hmm. But I will take a look now at the most added catchers in fantasy leagues. But if there's anyone that comes to mind, sorry, pulling it up. Okay, Nick Hundley is 62% owned. He's number one. Francisco Cervelli is number two at 72% owned. Miguel Montero, who probably stands to benefit from this, he'll get more at-bats. He's 50% owned. We got Iannetta. We got Weeters is very owned, but he's on the most added list. Salta Lamacchia, that's not a good idea. Wilson Ramos, 47% owned. Yadier Molina, 55%. If you're in a two-catcher league and you lost Schwarber, that's a tough blow. If you're in a one-catcher league, there are some options. Who do you guys like?
Sure.
I like Hundley a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I think Montero would be my second choice out of that group.
Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking, especially the fact one catcher leagues are usually points leagues and Montero walks a lot, I think both of them are undervalued. Hundley, of course, kind of like Story, benefits from playing half his games at Coors Field, and we saw that play out. I do think, speaking to the shallower leagues for a minute, because, you know, you lose somebody like Kyle Schwarber and you just figure there's no hope of replacing the kind of production you were expecting from him. Devin Mesoraco is still available in a fifth of all leagues. And I do think he's a guy who could be just as good as you expected Schwarber to be. I'm not saying he will be, but he's shown he could be before having hip surgery. And he's playing regularly, more regularly than I thought coming off surgery. So that's, for you shallow leaguers, Mesoraco's somebody who absolutely needs to be picked up.
And he's off to a bad start, so for you deep leaguers, maybe you try to make a buy-low offer on Devin Mesoraco.
Yep.
Who is actually on the most drop list. I think he's down only 2%.
Do you own him in any leagues, Adam?
I do. I own him in two leagues.
I'll make you an offer.
No, I think he's going to be fine. But you can go ahead and make me an offer. I'll get Ross Stripling for Devin Mesoraco. Sure, why not?
That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, so what about... just real quick, any like... deep league catchers that you think maybe have some value or prospects that could get called up, something to help the Schwarber and even the Chirinos owner.
Well, my favorite potential call-up at catcher is a guy who would be replacing, who we just said was our favorite to pick up, Nick Hundley. Tom Murphy for the Rockies has a lot of power potential that I think would play well in that park and is their future at the position because he's a good defender as well. Okay. Beyond that, I mean, Gary Sanchez for the Yankees, I think will be up at some point. He has power. Wilson Contreras for the Cubs. I wasn't counting on him playing a big role this year, but with Schwarber going down, obviously there's a chance now. That's Wilson with two L's, by the way. Beyond that, no, not.
It's a bad
you're
position.
You're just taking the best you can get. Yeah. I mean,
try to find somebody that gets at bats.
I'm surprised Pierzynski's as unowned as he is, only 11% owned.
In one of our Roto leagues, the Schwarber owner just picked up Kurt Suzuki. I mean, that's what you have to do.
It's awful.
Okay. AJ Pollock will not begin baseball activity for at least 3 months. He might miss the entire season. Drop or stash AJ Pollock, Heath?
It really depends on what's out there on the waiver wire. I have a hard time believing in a mixed league, if I'm already using both of my DL spots, I'm going to have a really hard time holding on to them.
Okay.
In our NL-only league, I don't have much choice. So I'll just hold on to them and pray.
Yeah.
If I have a mixed league DL spot still available, well, it's an easy choice. You put them there until you need it. But, I mean, if he's not starting baseball activities for 3 months, you're looking at he maybe starts baseball activities in July.
Yeah.
But
just 2 months at the end of the year at Pollock is something you want a part of, right?
I don't believe if he starts baseball activities in the mid to late July, there's a very high likelihood you get 2 months out of him.
It is a low likelihood.
I mean, he's not playing games in July.
I feel like there probably needs to be a distinction even with certain types of mixed leagues, though, because if our standard head-to-head, three outfielders, 21-man rosters, two DL spots,
right,
that's pretty shallow. It would be hard to hang on to him with one of only five bench spots. But then our standard roto league with five outfielders, you know, 29, 30 roster spots.
Yeah, but that's true.
That's easier.
But in that type of league, the waiver wire is so much more thin. Mm-hmm. If there's somebody out there on the waiver wire, like Mazzara gets called up, and Pollock's the only player on my bench that I could see dropping, I think I'm dropping Pollock for Mazzara.
I rarely find that there's nobody on my bench I can't drop in that size league, but, you know, everybody's situation's different.
Right.
I suppose if you play in a league where five or six owners are not so active on the waiver wire, you could accumulate this wealth of talent that might force you to drop Pollock.
But, all right.
Ideally, I'm saying no.
Jacob DeGrom left Friday start with lat tightness. Do not start DeGrom this week. He will not make his Wednesday start. He also had back stiffness during spring training, and his velocity has been down. And Terry Collins said that is a result of all the innings DeGrom pitched last year. So something to keep in mind. It doesn't mean it won't come back. But
this spring, you were really worried about Thor, right?
Yep.
And very excited about DeGrom.
Yeah, I didn't think the innings would be an issue for him.
And Thor in his first start looked like the best pitcher in baseball.
I would say that of all the baseball I've watched so far, and I've watched a lot, there has not been a more impressive performance. Okay, Trevor Story aside, I have not seen anything better than Noah Syndergaard against the Royals. That was the best thing I've seen so far this year.
That was, yes, I agree completely. He was flat out unhittable.
Yes.
And stuff comes and goes to a certain degree for pitchers. I think pitchers all talk about it, even the best pitchers. I had my good stuff today. I didn't have, he's not going to be that good all year.
No.
But we just saw that his good stuff is as good as anybody's in baseball.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But again, like I said, when he made that start, it's not like all the innings concerns I had go away because of one start.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, hopefully DeGrom, it's a rough start to the season for him. And Harvey too. I mean, are you guys worried about DeGrom and Harvey?
I'm much more worried about DeGrom than I am Harvey.
I'm not going to worry about either.
Okay.
Scott's just carefree. Not a concern in the world.
No. I mean, look at how some people were reacting to Madison Bumgarner after his first start, and then six great innings where he strikes out eight the second time. Oh, and his foot was hurt. Oh, you know, who cares?
Worried about Glenn Perkins' velocity being down.
Yeah.
DeGrom's velocity is down.
But that's different. I mean, what is the damage done to giving up a Glenn Perkins as opposed to giving up a DeGrom or Harvey? I guess there's really no harm in just worrying if that's all you want to do. But if you want to act on the worry, you can really shoot yourself in the foot.
Well, yeah, you can't sell low.
Right.
Other things that I've seen fantasy owners worried about, I'm just going to kind of scan through the notes here and see what I find. Charlie Blackmon and Gerardo Parra sitting against lefties. Adam Wainwright.
I think one of them will sit against most lefties. Cargo will eventually sit against a lefty too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and say I'm pretty worried about Gerardo Parra. Heath's most owned was Tyson Ross. I would venture to say Parra is my most owned player for his potential to break out playing half his games at Coors Field. But if he's sitting against lefties consistently, that's going to really put a damper on that prediction.
And when you've got Ryan Rayburn on your roster, I mean, you can't play Gerardo Parra against a lefty.
Well, I'm hoping they spread out who sits against the lefty to get Ryan Rayburn in. That's my hope.
And I think they have so far. Because Blackmon sat against the last lefty. They both sat.
Here's the thing. Yeah, Rayburn makes sense, but they're also putting Brandon Barnes in, and he's been terrible against lefties each of the past two seasons. So I don't know that that will last.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I don't know that it'll last because we've seen this play out with Walt Weiss before. We were worried about Charlie Blackmon once upon a time because of this. We were worried about Corey Dickerson because of this. And, you know, they've been great the last 2 years when they've played. Dickerson obviously hasn't all the time, but they've been great.
Okay. So back to the notes. AJ Hinch, apparently was considering having Evan Gattis catch on his rehab assignment if it extended into this upcoming week. Gattis should be back very soon. But that's interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
Very interesting. That could be somebody you buy on the cheap as a potential Schwarber replacement.
Buck Showalter thinks Adam Jones is close to returning from ribcage soreness. I gotta be honest, I'd be a little iffy about starting Jones.
I've got that issue in, I can't remember which league it is, but one of our head-to-head leagues. And if he doesn't play tonight, which I don't think he's going to, I'm probably not starting him. I've got Denard Span on my bench, and Span's playing three games at Coors. I'd rather start Span than Jones.
And as we mentioned, Tyson Ross, DL, shoulder inflammation, Robbie Erlin will start this week. Well, it's been a, you know, slower paced show than I anticipated. We haven't gotten to much. So let's take a look at who's being added just overall. I think we've talked about a lot of these guys. The number one most added player in fantasy is Tyler White, 79% owned. He is 10 for 18 with 3 home runs, 9 RBI, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Astros first baseman Tyler White. Are you guys buying it?
I think you might say that he's white hot.
You might say that.
I'm going to pick him up in the same spirit I am Steven Souza, in that, okay, what I think he is this, which wasn't worth drafting, but there's enough of an unknown there that I want to be the one who potentially takes advantage of it with him performing so well. At times this spring, I downplayed his power potential because he didn't even have that 20 homer season Trevor Story had in the minors. His top was 15 in 2014, but he did that in 389 at bats, and his walk rate was off the charts. And he's third base eligible, which makes it a lot easier than if he was just first base eligible.
I will just to temper expectations a little bit. He's played 3 games at Yankee Stadium and 3 games at Miller Park.
Sure.
He doesn't play in a bad park at all, but those are 2 of the best.
Yeah, not for righties though. Well, Yankee Stadium anyway.
Right, Miller Park. 2 of his 3 home runs came at Miller Park against that terrible.
He plays in a pretty good park for right-handed.
Right, I think
sluggers,
Miller Park
though.
Was the number 1 park for home runs last year.
Okay.
Was it really?
I believe so. I believe it was actually even better than Coors for home runs. Now, Coors was better for everything else because that outfield's so ginormous.
I actually would have thought maybe it would be the Rogers Center just because they have the hitters that were there. But
well, when they do those park factors, they take into account who's hitting there.
Oh, you mean it didn't have the most home runs. It was
right.
The most, okay,
it helped the most in terms of home run factor.
Okay, I understand. So would you drop Travis Shaw for Tyler White?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
Would you drop? I was going first base, but I'll go third instead. All right. Would you rather have Eugenio Suarez or Tyler White at third base?
Eugenio.
I'd rather have White. If we're saying strictly at third base, I mean Suarez obviously has the shortstop eligibility that probably makes him more valuable overall.
Mm-hmm. Okay. More guys on the most added list. Well, Brock Holt is on there, and that's actually a guy that I was considering dropping because I know what Brock Holt does. This is what he does. He gets like super hot and he's awesome, and then he's completely horrible. Am I right on the right track there?
You're right. I mean, notice one of the qualifications I made for Souza and White pickups is there's a bit of an unknown there still. There's no unknown with Brock Holt. The 2 homers he hit in week 1 aren't going to become a regular thing for him.
But I think he should be added, or he should be owned pretty much in all roto leagues, mixed roto leagues. In points leagues, it's a little bit more difficult, but.
Yeah. Well, the only problem with the roto leagues is Holt doesn't really give you home runs or steals.
Yeah. I don't feel like he needs to be owned, but I get what Heath's saying.
But that said,
the eligibility.
He does get hot. So he's hitting well right now. He's banged up. You got to check the lineup. He plays at 2:00 Eastern time today. But like, I think I'm starting Brock Holt over Scooter Jeanette. Because, as I mentioned, Jeanette's got 3 lefties on the schedule, and Holt's hitting pretty well. The whole Red Sox team hitting well right now, until they run into Marco Estrada, that is. All right, we've talked a lot about the guys on the most added list, guys like Ryan Madsen and Genmar Gomez, but 2 pitchers who are on there, I think they're both 2-start guys. Yeah, I know Sanchez is. Brandon Finnegan and Aaron Sanchez. Finnegan 55% owned, Sanchez 85% owned. They're in the top 10 on the most added list. What are your thoughts on those guys? Heath?
Yeah, Finnegan was a guy that, I mean, he's got the upside. He pitches for a bad team, which is going to limit his win potential. He pitches in a bad park, which is probably going to hurt his ERA. But especially when he's on a 2-start week, and I would rather have him than Sanchez.
All right, I'm going to skip around. Let's just name some players here that did some noteworthy stuff over the weekend. Edinson Volquez, 82% owned, 10 strikeouts against the Twins. His first start against the Mets was excellent. Is Volquez going to surprise us, have a better season than what we've seen in recent years, or is he the same old Edinson Volquez?
Well, I mean, based on where most of us had him ranked, if he does what he did last year, he's going to be a steal. So I don't think he's probably going to necessarily be better than he was last year, but most people didn't think he would be as good as he was last year. I think there's a decent chance he is.
I think he is who he was last year, which is a good guy to have on your roster for the 2-start weeks in unexciting for the 1-start weeks, I guess. I don't think he's going to have many 10 strikeout games. He even said, you know, that means I'm supposed to be getting ground balls. That's the way it works. I'm not supposed to be getting strikeouts.
It's also the Twins against right-handed pitching.
Yeah.
And they just, I think he's probably going to be a 12 to 15 win guy with 200 innings of 3.5 ERA.
Okay. So let's talk about some stud starting pitchers who were bad this weekend. Adam Wainwright, Johnny Cueto, Dallas Keuchel. What? 10 walks and 2 starts. Now, he was a little wild at the start of last year. He walked he walked 18 batters in his first 8 starts. He walked 9 batters in his first 3 starts. Mm-hmm. And then had elite control. Matt Harvey, 7 strikeouts in his first 2 games. That is the fewest he's ever had in a 2-start stretch. Chris Archer got roughed up, gave up 4 home runs at Baltimore. Zach Greinke, you know, it ended up being okay. 6 innings, 4 runs. Got off to a rough start against the Cubs. And Garrett Cole was bad at Cincinnati on Saturday. 3 runs and 4 2/3 in his first start. Remember, he had an interrupted spring training because of an injury. But anyway, anybody that I named really jump out at you as something worrisome in the early going.
I'm most concerned about Adam Wainwright just because I was worried about the pitcher. I mean, Chris has talked a lot about that injury and how almost nobody comes back from that injury. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a fair point. My bigger concern was that long of a layoff. And yes, he was good in the playoffs, but that long of a layoff, not pitching very much at all last year at his age. And he hasn't been sharp through his first 2 starts. And that doesn't mean he's going to be bad, but I don't think he belongs really in this class of pitchers. He's the worst pitcher on the list. And I would be concerned if I had any Adam Wainwright, which I don't.
I don't know. His track record's pretty good. I don't know that we should not include him with this group.
Okay.
I do think he's the most worrisome of this list, but I will point out that, I know this is only worth so much, but he feels like he knows what's going on with him mechanically. Because he feels like it's exactly what he went through when he first came back from Tommy John surgery in 2012. And so I feel like he has a good read on the situation and he's going to be able to get things straightened out. It may take a month, it may take 2 months, but eventually he'll be the must-start pitcher we drafted him to be. I actually offered him, in an effort to buy low, I offered somebody who needed offensive help, Mike Moustakas and Alex Gordon, for Adam Wainwright. And he turned it down, but he said it thought it was a fair offer, and he's just a Cardinals fan and wants to give Wainwright more time. So,
wow.
For whatever that's worth.
Wow. That's surprising, because I think there are a lot of worrisome signs here with Wainwright. I mean, first of all, he doesn't strike anybody out. And even last year, he struggled with that, didn't he?
Well, that was only 28 innings last year.
Yeah, but I think this is what he is. He's got a bad fastball now. He didn't strike anybody out
in 2014 either.
Right. That's just a known part of the equation.
I think that's why he doesn't belong in the group. Well, first of all, with those other guys. And I guess
if you're just assessing strikeout, but this is a guy who consistently has a low 2 ERA, and pitches over 200 innings.
I just don't think he's the same pitcher anymore.
Okay, that's fair.
But it's interesting to hear the buy low take on Adam Wainwright. All right, we'll see what happens. Now, this next group of pitchers, I call them studs because they're owned in most leagues. They were more mid-round picks. Tell me who the first one you might actually see yourself dropping is. Not now, but sometime down the line. Julio Teheran, ding, ding, ding. Shelby Miller, Yordano Ventura, Luis Severino, Scott Kazmir, Marcus Stroman, and Francisco Liriano. They struggled over the weekend. First one you would drop, who would it be? Scott.
I don't think it'd be Julio Teheran, even though the ding, 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 I think maybe
tipped us off. Oh, it's clearly Julio Teheran.
For me, I think I'd drop Kazmir before I dropped Teheran.
Yep.
And I was getting lower and lower on Miller as the preseason went on. The weird thing is he'd been so bad in his career against lefties and outstanding against righties, and he's getting crushed by righties right now.
Yeah, he's been hit hard. 5 home runs already in 2 starts.
And I think all of them are to right-handed batters.
I think the only one I would even consider dropping is Kazmir. And the others, I couldn't bring myself to do it. I don't care if it was for Tyler White or Eugenio Suarez or any of the other players we talked about.
Right, but he wasn't saying who are you dropping, like who is the closest to being dropped besides Kazmir.
Kazmir, granted, a lot of pitchers' velocities are down this time of year. That's normal. But he's like averaging 90 on his fastball when most of the last 2 years he was 93. And I couldn't find a stretch either year where he was down this low. So I know he one hit the Padres the first time through.
It's the Padres.
I kind of was like, oh, okay, he's fine again. But I'll keep flip flopping on Kazmir because I think there is not enough upside to hold the line with him.
One thing I'm interested to watch. I mean, I'm not going to be dropping these guys, but in Ventura's next start, I want to see if this was just he couldn't find the strike zone for this start. In Marcus Stroman's next start, I mean, he was outstanding against a very bad Rays offense. and he got roughed up against a pretty decent Red Sox offense. So I want to see those two guys are the ones that I think have the widest range of possible outcomes.
Heath, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling risky enough to start Billy Hamilton and FanDuel tonight against John Lester?
No, not at all.
I might be.
Yeah?
I'll tell you why.
What's his BVP number?
He's like 4-for-5 or something against Lester, but also, if he gets on base, he is guaranteed to steal against John Lester.
What
like,
if
guaranteed.
A runner in front
of him? So,
what if
FanDuel,
there's a runner on second?
What's that?
What if there's a runner on second when he gets on?
They'll both steal.
Oh, okay.
Plus, I think he bats behind the pitcher. So, well, actually,
yeah, the pitcher gets on base about as often as Billy Hamilton.
I don't know if he bats eighth or ninth, but anyway, these are the types of fun decisions you can make every day when you play daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel. If you're an AJ Pollock owner, if your season's already lost, why not try daily fantasy on FanDuel? Every day is a new season. Forget about injuries. Forget about bad matchups. Try to match wits against other fantasy baseball enthusiasts. It's this simple. If you love fantasy baseball, you will love playing on FanDuel.com. Special offer for new users. Sign up today, enter your first league, either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. So basically, enter a league today if it's your first time, up to $10. It's free. Either you win a cash prize or you get that money back from FanDuel. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Sign up with our promo code, HOMERUN. One word, no spaces, HOMERUN, our promo code on FanDuel.com. Heath, give us something good in the DFS front. All I did was look at the 7 p.m. Eastern and later matchups.
Right. Yeah, that's the one thing I would say about the early slate is Aaron Nola faces the Padres, mm-hmm. and he's dirt cheap, and so that's probably a good place to go there.
Cool.
If you're looking at the late slate, Scherzer against the Braves, hard to go wrong there in cash. I've heard some people talking about Brandon Finnegan. This is not the type of start I'd want to use him at Wrigley Field against the Cubs.
What about Mats against the Marlins? What do you think about him?
I don't hate that as a tournament play. I think he's got a pretty good win probability. Sonny Gray against the Angels, another good option.
Okay, let me ask you this BVP question.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I didn't get a chance to look at the prices. Mike Trout's off to a bad start. Has he dropped in price? Is he affordable now, Mike Trout?
He is $600 less than Bryce Harper. And
yeah, well,
$200 less than Giancarlo Stanton, and at least $500 more than every other outfielder.
And he's 5-for-28 with 2 home runs, 1 walk, and 11 strikeouts against Sonny Gray.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to pay $4,600 for Mike Trout in the Athletics ballpark against a pitcher as good as Sonny Gray. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me when I can play Bryce Harper against Bud Norris.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to play Harper.
Okay, yeah, I mean, hopefully Trout struggles today, gets even cheaper for tomorrow, because you know he's due. He's going to get something big going at some point, and you can capitalize on that.
And I think it'll be really interesting to see this Astros lineup against Chris Young. Fly ball pitcher.
Oh, yeah, I thought about that, actually. I might. I don't know if there are cheap Astros, but, yeah, it's a terrible park for Chris Young.
I still feel like it's a tournament-only play because those type of young, aggressive hitters are exactly the type that can just – it doesn't make any sense at all, but they can be befuddled by the crafty veteran. So I'm not real excited about using Springer or Correa in cash games, but I think they're good tournament plays.
Before we go on, there are 2 more pitchers I want to mention. Chris Tillman. Not for DFS, by the way. Back to seasonal.
Yes.
Chris Tillman, 68% owned. So, you know, you could be thinking about, should I pick up Rich Hill? Should I pick up Chris Tillman? Should I pick up Ross Stripling? Is Tillman clearly ahead of those guys? Look, it wasn't a great start. It was 5 innings, but it was 4 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. Only 83 pitches. Remember, his first start was only 2 innings.
Right.
What do you guys think?
I'd rather have Tillman than those guys.
I would much rather have Hill. I just don't think the others have mixed league upsides, Stripling or Tillman.
Okay. And looking at deep leagues, Drew Pomeranz, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. So the final line was 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts. It was at Colorado. Trevor Story did not homer off Drew Pomeranz. He's 24%
at Colorado, where all his demons are. He threw his changeup a lot more. That was the pitch he was developing this spring that was supposed to be that third offering that would allow him to start, and he did throw it a significant amount. So that's encouraging. I'm only picking him up as a SPARP based on this start. So head-to-head points league, sure. Anything else? Not yet.
How about Robbie Ray at 27%? Is Robbie Ray under-owned?
How much? What percent?
27.
And compare that to Tillman?
Tillman 68.
Yeah, I would say that's under-owned. I'd rather have Robbie Ray than Tillman, so.
Oh my goodness, I forgot to mention this other guy, Jeremy Hellickson. He's pitching great. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you forgot to mention Vince Velasquez.
I did. Oh, God, so much. Vince Velasquez was awesome.
The thing was, I didn't actually get to see it, but I was watching the game tracker on my phone for a good portion of that start. And according to the game tracker and the poll I put out on Twitter, he was absolutely getting squeezed by the umpire as well.
Everybody's getting squeezed by the umpire. Everybody. If the umpires are so, I'm not saying they're bad. They're just calling tight strike zone this year.
Nobody likes that.
Nobody does. any interest in Hellickson, guys? 34%
nope.
Owned?
Can't.
Not at all.
Can't get there.
Okay. So, with that said, emails. fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I got to about 60% of what I wanted to talk about today. Not even. 30%. Just, there was so much stuff over the weekend. Also, you know, it's early, so I try to put as many things in the notes as I can, and just so I don't miss anything, and missed a lot. So this is Justin from Michigan. The madness of Trevor Story has given me an opportunity I don't think I can pass up. I'm in an 18-team categories league, 6x6. I give Colton Wong and Trevor Story for Carlos Correa and Jed Lowry.
Do it now. Quickly. Yeah. Go. Yeah.
That's how you sell high.
Pause the podcast and accept the trade.
Yep. Actually selling high, so that's very good.
Question from Justo. Better this week in his 2 starts, Finnegan or Shane Green? I actually think Shane Green lost his 2nd start.
Yeah, because of that rain out. Yeah. Verlander's getting 2 starts for the Tigers this week, so obviously Finnegan.
Yeah, so Green should get 2 starts next week, so yeah, go Finnegan. Bo from Idaho was watching Felix's start on Sunday. He says, I'm becoming more worried about the velocity and relying on the off-speed pitches. I'm in a longer-term 30-team keeper league. I'm thinking about moving Felix Hernandez. Would acquiring Trevor Story and a pitcher like Joe Ross be enough or too much for Felix Hernandez?
That's not enough for me.
Mm-mm. And I'm not especially worried. I mean, he struck out 10 in that game. He's just such a good pitcher. He's survived drops in velocity before, and I think he's going to be an ace again.
This one's from Tyler. Could you guys discuss Sportsline's treatment of Kyle Schwarber's position eligibility going into 2017. Scott tweeted that he would just be outfield eligible, but that seems ridiculous. Schwarber only played a few.
Because what? Go ahead. Sorry.
Schwarber only played a few games this year and was supposed to catch on Friday, the day after he got hurt. He caught 21 times in less than half a season last year. Is that a set in stone CBS rule? Also, I figured out why I didn't get into the podcast league or the rejects league. I said it was for my 40th birthday in the subject line. And Heath is an ageist. He must have deleted my email without even reading it.
Yep.
All right. Position eligibility rules. I mean, they take care of themselves. You know, you don't want a bunch of loosey-goosey subjectivity applied to eligibility rules, because then you end up with a player starting at a position he never plays. If Kyle Schwarber is really a catcher, he will catch for the Cubs next season, and within 5 games, he will be eligible at catcher again. And you have nothing to worry about. And if that never happens, then he's not really a catcher, so why do you want him playing catcher?
Okay, let me offer the counterpoint, because I knew this would be Scott White's take, because rules are rules, and we must follow the rules. And I agree to a certain extent, but what if Kyle Schwarber is an outfielder that catches once or twice a week?
Then he's not really a catcher. He shouldn't be starting a catcher.
No, he absolutely
for you
is a catcher.
Fantasy. No, he's not.
He'll be a catcher within
okay,
a month.
Sorry, once or twice a week. You're right. Go ahead.
Yeah, he'll be a catcher within a month or two.
But if it's once or twice a week, it'll be within 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, let's say it's once a week.
Okay.
Let's say, because it probably was going to be this year. He was going to catch on Saturday, which would have been his 1 start. So it's going to take 5 to 6 weeks before you get Kyle Schwarber catcher eligible, and I've got to draft another stinking catcher to play for 5 or 6 weeks.
Well, he should catch more.
Well,
to be your full-time catcher, he should catch more.
Only got to play 5 games this year.
He's not really a catcher if he's not catching.
If you catch 5 games in a season, you are a catcher. But by the rules or rules,
if the Cubs,
motto,
if
he
the
is a catcher.
Cubs are unwilling to play him at catcher for him to gain eligibility faster, then he's not a very good catcher. So he's not somebody who a real life team would be relying on as their everyday catcher. So I think it's fair that your fantasy team wouldn't be either.
I understand where you're coming from, Tyler. It does suck. But yes, that's the rule, and it's going to be that way.
All right, that's it for our show today. Thank you all very much for listening. Hopefully we were helpful. I was a little all over the place. I do apologize for that. Scott White, Heath Cummings, thank you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See ya.
See ya, Adam.
All right, thanks everybody. See you later.